Good morning and welcome to this segment of Your Morning Wake-Up Call. I'm your host, MK. Joining me today is Paige Knight. She is the Research and Policy Analyst for New Mexico Voices for Children. And she is joining us today to give us an update on how our foster kids are doing and how we're doing in terms of placing our foster children. Welcome, Paige. It's so nice to have you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So where do we stand on how our foster kids are doing?
Sure. So the Annie E. Casey Foundation just released a data snapshot last week. It looks at the national and state trends over the past decade using data from the child welfare system. So in New Mexico, 92% of children in foster care were placed in families in 2017. So that's a 2% increase from 2007. Now, nationally, only 86% of children in foster care were placed in families in 2017, and that was a 5% increase from 2007. So that's pretty good for New Mexico, and that ties us for 10th best in the nation when it comes to placing children in foster care in families. And we are also one of 16 states, along with D.C., to place 90% or more of children in families. So that's great news for New Mexico. 92% is really good because we know that children do best in families. Being part of a family is a human need and essential to well-being, especially for children, teenagers, and young adults who are developing and transitioning to independence.
Yeah, that is rather surprising. I mean, just because we don't have the strongest record in that regard. So it's nice to hear some good news.
So
tell us about what the breakdown is when it comes to race and ethnicity.
Sure. So breaking the data down into age and race shows that there's certainly room for improvement. So in New Mexico, 97% of children in foster care 12 years and younger were placed in families, but that's compared to only 70% of children 13 years and older. So this is troubling because for teenagers, problems can compound because when teens are placed in group settings, they often age out of foster care without those family ties and support they need to really thrive. So that's definitely something we can improve on and build on then, is getting that percentage for teenagers as high as children 12 years and younger. So that's definitely something we can improve on. When you look at the data broken down by race, 92% of white children and Hispanic children in New Mexico were placed with families in 2017, but that's compared to only 86% of African American children. So that's certainly troubling. And that number for African American children, that number has been stagnant at 86% over the decade, while other races have seen some slight improvements in family placement rate.
And how about our Native American children?
So the data shows that they have found some good improvements as well. So back in 2007, our Native American children had 86% placement rate for families. That has improved to 94%. But it's still unclear whether they're being placed with other Native families or not. But for 2017, that's 94%. Sure. So the Federal Family First Prevention Services Act was signed into law in 2018, and it seeks to accelerate movement towards this vision of placing children in families. It emphasizes prevention services, prioritizes family placement, and then incentivizes high-quality residential treatment. So it follows kind of a long tradition of federal legislation that is designed to ensure children and teens grow up in a family.
Do you have any information at all as to whether or not we're doing a better job of filtering our families, and this is part of why our numbers are going up?
Yeah, that I'm not sure on. I certainly hope so. I hope that's the case. I think there's definitely been a push to get more families into the foster care system. It's obviously preferred as opposed to group settings for a number of reasons. You know, for instance, placing young people in group settings and institutions can often, you know, exacerbate that trauma young people endure from being separated from their parents. So it definitely makes sense that agencies who are doing this work are focusing on finding families. You know, placing young people with relatives or close friends when they cannot live with their birth families, you know, helps, again, minimize the trauma of removal, maintains those vital connections and often keeps sibling groups together. Again, children in kin placements are generally less likely to run away, and relatives are less likely to request that children be removed when their behavior becomes difficult. So again, that's why that 92% is something that we should really be proud of, and then strive to keep building on that success, finding families for our teenagers and for our children of color as well.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be checking in. If you ever have any more updates, please feel free to give us a call and keep us in the loop, as it were. We appreciate your reaching out to us to help us keep our community informed about our children, the status especially of our foster kids.
Great. Yes, thank you again for having me.
Thank you. Joining us today is also Amber Wallen, and she is Deputy Director of Voices for Children. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about their organization and what they do, as well as look at some of the victories and defeats that we experienced during this legislative session. So, Amber, tell us a little bit about New Mexico Voices for Children and why this is such an important organization, and what do you focus on?
Thanks so much for having me here this morning and giving us the opportunity to talk about kids in a great setting. And, you know, at Voices, we're a research and policy organization. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. And so what we do is we champion public policies that are really driven with the purpose of improving conditions and improving well-being for New Mexico's children and family, especially children and families that are living in low-income areas or facing some big challenges. And we do this through a mixture of data collection and research and policy development, communications, advocacy. We do all that. But really at the heart, we're really about changing the systems that impact kids and families in New Mexico. And we think that's a pretty big lift here in the state. And the reality is that children in New Mexico are facing some pretty big challenges. We're 50th in the nation in overall child well-being. We're often at the bottom of lists that are related to poverty and to educational outcomes. And so we know that our children are facing big challenges, but we also know that there's a lot of potential in the state, and that our communities are strong and resilient, and that our kids have a lot of potential. And so at Voices, we're driven by trying to create opportunities for all of our kids to really thrive and reach that potential. In New Mexico, over the years, unfortunately, while we've always said, and our policymakers have always said, that children were a high priority, unfortunately, we don't often see that in our policymaking. Too often, children and the programs that really serve children are not the priority when we're making our budgets. Too often when we're making our budgets, we're really focusing on those that are well-connected or big businesses, and we're really looking at what's best for them. Unfortunately, we've been undervaluing our kids and undervaluing those programs that impact them the most. And along with undervaluing, what we've seen is underfunding of those programs. So, for example, when you look at spending, even just compared to a decade ago, that we're funding education and higher education at a lower level than we were in 2008 when you adjust for inflation. And you see that a lot of the benefits over the years that we've given in tax programs have really not gone to families. They haven't gone to kids. Unfortunately, they've gone to really high earners, really big corporations. And the results of all of that is that we haven't had the money to invest in programs, the health and education, our schools, all those programs that we know matter so much to our kids. And the result of that is that we've seen our children fall in child well-being. We've seen our poverty rates increase. We know that now that thousands more New Mexico kids live in poverty than they did 10 years ago. So we know that there's real results to the policy decisions that are made, and we advocate for putting children first in our policy decisions, and we saw a lot of that happening this legislative session.
I was going to say, so let's talk about that. What were some of the victories for children in terms of this legislative session?
Well, it was a good session for kids, probably the best session that we've seen in a number of years, probably the best legislative session in a decade for New Mexico's kids. Now, there's still a lot of work to do, but we did see victories for kids starting from when they're born, so early childhood programs, all the way through our K-12 education system, up through higher ed, and up to the programs that really help working families with children in New Mexico. So a lot of different high points this legislative session.
How do you feel about the new governor's impact on children and whether or not she's going to be successful in turning these numbers around?
Well, one of the things that we saw was that the governor campaigned on a platform that really highlighted kids, and we wanted to see during the session, well, it's easy to say one thing when you're campaigning, but when it comes down to policymaking, what does that look like? And one of the things that we saw this legislative session was that children were a focus by policymakers in both chambers and certainly in the governor's office during the session. We saw real leadership from her when it came to early childhood in New Mexico and creating a new department that was focused on the early childhood years. We saw her testify in front of a Senate Finance Committee about the really the enormous importance of the early childhood years for brain development and early and healthy childhood development. It's going to be an early childhood care and education department, and that's highlighting that the early childhood years are really about more than just pre-K. There's a lot of programs in those early childhood years that are focused on care. For example, people think of child care assistance, that's something that's not just education, but it really is about caring for children, giving them a safe, healthy, really well-researched space to grow and learn while their parents work. There's also programs that will fall under that department, like home visiting. These programs are really crucial for new parents, for breaking, you know, some of the cycles that we see in New Mexico are multi-generational cycles of poverty, sometimes childhood trauma or abuse, and we know that programs like home visiting are just really key for addressing those. So putting those different early childhood programs under one department, we hope that that will increase coordination and improve those programs under the new cabinet secretary. But we also know that there's still a lot of improvements to be made, especially when it comes to funding that new department, because while that new department is a great start, what we didn't see this year in early childhood was we didn't see a significant increase in funding for programs like home visiting, for child care assistance, those programs that we know matter not so much, not just to the kids that are in them, but also to the families that utilize them. And so that's just to be said that there's a lot of great work accomplished and a lot still to be done.
Do you want to talk a little bit more about that in terms of the work that is left to be done?
Well, you know, on one hand, like I said, with early childhood, one thing we know is that only a fraction of kids in New Mexico receive those home visiting services. So less than 5% of New Mexico newborns and their families receive state-funded home visiting services. And we know that that's a program that could really benefit all kids and families. We also know that thousands fewer kids in New Mexico are receiving child care assistance now than did in 2010. And we know that program is really crucial to helping families afford the enormous cost of child care, which, you know, that's more than college tuition, and there's no Pell Grants for pre-K or for daycare. So we know that that program is really crucial for families and for kids. We know it helps prevent abuse and helps children really grow up in healthy environments while their parents work. And so we know that we need to expand access and funding for those programs in order to reach more New Mexico kids and in order to ensure that they really enter the kindergarten doors ready to learn, ready to succeed. And on the K-12 front, we made a great start to achieving that education moonshot that a lot of people were talking about that was partially driven by the work done by groups in a lawsuit that was brought against the state for underfunding K-12 education in New Mexico and not putting enough emphasis on cultural and linguistic relevancy for children of color in New Mexico. So we know there was a lot of work to be done, and we had a great start. We saw some really big things out of the governor's office and out of many legislators who really focused on trying to improve education, especially in New Mexico. We saw big increases, so close to $500 million in increases for our K-12 education system, which is big. That's about a 16% increase from last year. We had increases in funding. We saw some bills pass. But really, what that $500 million does is that kind of just gets us back to where we were about 10 years ago when you adjust for inflation. We know that that investment will go a long way. Not only is that going to go to much-needed raises for our teachers and to improvements for our schools, but that's really creating opportunities for New Mexico's kids, and it's going to create a brighter New Mexico future for all of us as well. So we saw that we're starting to prioritize our kids and our teachers and our families more in education, but again, a lot of work still to be done.
We know that issues of over-medication of foster children was brought into the limelight this legislative session. We did a story ourselves interviewed an investigative reporter by the name of Amy Lynn, who works for Searchlight New Mexico. And Bill Tallman then had a corresponding bill, he said, was literally inspired by that story, and wondered if you felt as though that issue is being addressed enough in terms of over-medicating our foster kids.
As far as that specific bill goes, we didn't work on that bill. I know some of the work that went into it and that there's a lot of work to be done in the area. But one thing we would say is that we think that there's been an increased prioritization of foster children and how they're interacting with our system this legislative session. And so we think that's a great thing. We also think that the new cabinet secretary for CYFD, that his background in that area is going to bring a lot of learnings and a lot of knowledge into the programs. And we've already seen on behalf of the administration and on behalf of the new cabinet secretary that there's a real willingness to engage and really try to prioritize those children that are in our state systems that really need it the most.
And also, I guess there's also a concerted effort to improve not just the kids that are under 18, but those who kind of age out, and putting a little more emphasis on them during the 18 to early 20s, because that seems to be when we lose them often, when they fall through the cracks. Do you think that's on its way toward improving in terms of this state, as we've seen the numbers improve with placing foster kids?
I think we've made some progress in those areas over the past few years, and that's a definite trend. You know, there was a bill a few years ago to allow children in families, foster care families, to receive Medicaid even after they'd aged out of the foster care system. And there was another bill to allow where the state would cover college tuition for those children that had aged out of foster care. And so I think there's a real awareness of those young people. They're still kids. You know, a 19-year-old coming out of the foster care system is still a kid. And so there's a growing awareness about the importance of getting those kids set up on the right foot as they venture into adulthood.
And what do you attribute the improvement on the foster care placement numbers to?
I think that there's a few different reasons that you could say there's been some improvements over time, but I think overall that we have, as a state, shown a willingness to really invest in that system, and that there's been a lot of advocates and people, policymakers, who are working really hard to elevate those children who need it the most in our policymaking systems.
Is there any effort to try to deal with the mixed racial families when it comes to foster care and helping them adapt or learn to stay together a little bit more easily? Because I imagine that's a challenge when you have racial differences within a family.
It is a challenge, and I think it's a challenge that happens across the U.S., that it can be a challenge to keep children in the communities that they came from and that they're tied to in many different ways, including culturally and linguistically. But I think that one of the reasons that we do better than the rest of the nation in placements with families is because over the years we've recognized that there's an importance to keeping, for example, Hispanic children that come out of a Hispanic family or a Native American child, that there's some prioritization of the community and the role that a community has in helping a child grow and learn. And so as a state, that we've tended to do better than most states when it comes to placing children within their communities. And so that has benefits that go beyond living in a safe setting, that there's also cultural and linguistic benefits to that as well. That's not to say that there's still not a lot of work to be done, and I think that the improvements that we've been making in those areas are still relatively new, even though we tend to do better than the rest of the nation, and there's still a ways to go and a lot to be learned, especially, again, when you consider the need of the children who are facing some of the biggest challenges that any kids in our state face.
And the young folks, the teenagers, why is it so important to keep them in families, and how do we do a better job of reaching that population?
Well, we know that it's important to keep children in families because the research shows that children tend to do better in families than they do in, for example, group homes or other group settings, kin family placement should always be prioritized for kids when possible. And so no matter whether it's a young child or a teenager, we know that that holds true, and so that it's just incredibly important that we do what we can to keep children in family settings, especially in community, from their own community if possible. You know, the other thing is I think there's a lot of policies that were passed this year on the fiscal side that really addressed not just specific kids in those families, but all families that are in similar situations. So low-income families, low-income working families. There was a lot of tax improvements that happened this year that are going to directly benefit those families and children.
You want to talk about those tax benefits?
You know, one of the biggest improvements that we saw, there was a big tax package that came out of the House of Representatives, and there were a lot of improvements in there, including that corporations would pay more of their fair share, that we would see more revenue that could go towards schools. But for working families specifically, we saw an increase in New Mexico's working families tax credit. And that's a tax credit that goes directly back into the pockets of working New Mexico families. Nearly all of them have kids. And this is one of the best researched programs in the country. It's based on the federal earned income tax credit. It's a bipartisan, common sense, pro-family, pro-business solution. And we saw that tax credit almost doubled this legislative session. So there was a real prioritization of families and of kids, not just in those policies that we often think of as kid-focused policy, early childhood education, K-12 education, but in tax policy, too. And that's something that's been sorely missing from our policymaking over the past few years, but we saw a real commitment to it this year.
Any other major issues that you feel like are still out there for kids that we as a community need to pay attention to?
I think that it's really important that we continue to examine how we prioritize kids in our policymaking, and that with every policy decision that we consider kids, it's kind of commonplace now that a committee hearing may be filled with businesses, and that legislators are expected to hear what business thinks of any policy and whether or not it's going to harm or hurt big businesses especially. But we think that focus should be on kids with every single policy that we pass. And so examining whether or not we're raising enough revenue to fund our schools, examining whether or not enough families in New Mexico can access high-quality early childhood education and care, examining whether or not our tax policies are really affecting everybody in New Mexico fairly, including our working families with kids. I think that that's something that, you know, we made real progress on this legislative session, but there's still a long way left yet to go, and we're excited to see what happens over the next few years in those areas. I would just say that I think there's a lot of reason to be hopeful for New Mexicans. Anybody hears this program, if you're thinking about kids and families, there's a lot to be hopeful about, and there's a lot of progress made this legislative session. Some really big gains that our kids and our families have not seen in many years, but that we all of us, not just those who are parents or who work in these systems that are really trying to improve child well-being, but everybody in New Mexico has a vested interest in ensuring that our kids do well, and there's reason to be hopeful and reason to be excited and reason for all of us to stay engaged and ensure that our kids are a priority in decision-making.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Again, we've been speaking with Amber Wallen, the Deputy Director of New Mexico Voices for Children, and thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.